Our next guest says that the Trump guilty verdict is a gift from God to who, do you think? Because most of us who paid attention feel like it is a signal of a misuse of justice. But who is it a gift for? Well, former prosecutor and legal analyst Lionel Nation on YouTube is going to explain why this is a gift and who it's a gift to. Lionel, good to see you again.
Well, thank you. It's a gift, perhaps, facetiously, it's a gift to the president, and it's also a gift to all of us to once and for all put, I guess, if there's any question as to how serious lawfare is. It's a term I think that is being used far too much, but it is certainly now. And I think it's
okay, which president are we talking about? Is a gift to which president?
Trump.
Okay,
he has raised more money.
Yeah,
right. Former president. I'm sorry. To me, he is always a president. He is a. It's more money, more followers, more fame, more everything. And Joe Biden must be wondering, what am I doing? Well, which is what we're doing. But let me bring up a couple of points, which is really, really critical here. And I hope Americans in particular understand something. Please, please pay attention to what's happening to Steve Bannon and Rudy Giuliani and Roger Stone and Alex Jones and Harvey Weinstein and Peter Navarro and even Diddy and Epstein and Alec Baldwin even and Richard Nixon. These are cases where we have to remind folks lawfare, and again, I don't want to keep using the term, but the misapplication of the legal system in order to politically skewer and punish. This has been going on forever and is going on right now. Natalie, let me tell you something. Of the four cases that President Trump is looking at, for the first three, most people understand it, okay? There's the January 6th case where you can say, oh, okay, I see. The question is, did President Trump incite people? Okay, fine. Whether he did it or not, at least you understand the charge. Next, there's a notion of documents, Mar-a-Lago. Simple. Did he keep documents? He shouldn't. You understand it. The third case, a little bit more arcane and recondite, but still, it's the Georgia case involving Fannie Willis. By the way, that's going nowhere. And that case asks a very simple question. Did the president engage in some kind of electoral chicanery with false electors or whatever? And whether it rose to the racketeering level is a different story. Okay, so those three you understand. I'm telling you, as to this one, nobody understands it. Nobody understands what it is. And it's like Richard Feynman said about quantum mechanics. If you think you understand it, you don't understand it. And if I could, let me just, I don't want to bore you, but we have to be a little specific here.
But can I just say what liberals celebrate, and you can respond to this, what they're celebrating is, oh, he hid an affair from the voters. That's the violation. He shouldn't have done it. He did it in a shady way. He's guilty. We told you he was a bad guy all along. So how would you respond to that?
Maybe. See, I don't know. I don't know. It's like anything else. It's like, why do you like the Beatles? I don't know. Different reasons. But under this falsifying business records in the first degree, this is section 175.1. Let me just read this very, very quickly. This is count one. And by the way, there are 34 of these counts that were virtually identical. The defendant in the county of New York and elsewhere on February 14, 2017, now listen carefully, with intent to defraud and intent to commit another crime, and aid and conceal the commission thereof, made and caused a false entry to be made in the business records, specifically an invoice. So let me go back again. With the intent to defraud, whom we don't know, and intent to commit another crime. What crime? We don't know. This is unheard of. Nobody understands what this means. Very, very, again, I don't want to get too wonkish here, but everybody, you know, with all these experts, and everybody, by the way, everybody on TV is an expert. Everybody says, oh, I predicted this. You didn't predict anything. You don't know what's going to happen. But very, very specifically, sometimes, you know, you don't have to specify certain things. If you commit burglary and you're charged with entering or remaining in the structure or conveyance of another or the dwelling with the intent to commit an offense therein, you don't have to specify it. This is different. So what happens is this. You're right about this. I believe that the voters were deprived of the information. They were defrauded because there was an NDA agreement, a non-disclosure agreement made with Stormy Daniels, who, by the way, signed it herself. So if it's illegal, why wasn't she prosecuted in any event? And you know this, being in the media biz, you can't leave one corporation without you signing a host of, you know, not agreements not to disparage, non-disclosure, trade secrets. It's done all the time. And by the way, Natalie, I don't have to. I can have you sign an agreement. After we're done with this, I can pay you $200 never to mention this again. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to even question the validity of it. So anyway, so the theory was that this non-disclosure agreement was made, and it deprived the voters, I guess, of the knowledge that he might have had an affair with someone. Then the payment was made by his partner in crime, the quote fixer, who doesn't fix anything, serial liar, Michael Cohen, who himself paid for it. And then when he was paid, quote, legal fees, was there really a reimbursement or was that actual legal fees? And was that fraudulent? Now, remember, what you do is you just nod your head. If you're on CNN, you say, well, that makes complete sense to me. If you're George Conway, you say, well, that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. If you're anybody else, you say, well, that makes sense to me. But it doesn't. And by the way, the hypocrisy. One more thing before we forget.
Why doesn't it make sense?
Because we still don't know what he did. Okay. We don't even know what he did. We don't even know what he, we can't even figure out what he did. This would have never been brought. Now, remember a couple of things. First and foremost, the FEC, the Elections Commission said, we're not going to take this. The Southern District of New York said, we're not going to take this.
Yes.
Cy Vance, the prior district attorney, said, I'm not going to take this. This is garbage. Alvin Bragg, the current DA, says, I'm not going to take this case. It's horrible. It's terrible. I don't even understand it. Then they said, oh, you're going to take it. Okay. He didn't take it. He was the titular placeholder. He was pushed out of the way. And then this Matthew Colangelo and folks from the DOJ came in. They took over. So Alvin Bragg is sitting there. He doesn't know. He's like Tish James. He shows up in court. He gets some coffee. He leaves. He has no idea what's going on. The hypocrisy. Let me bring this one up too. Look, here's the best part. Nothing that Judge Mershon did was illegal. Nothing's illegal. This is all legal. This is legal. You can do this. It's like you can steal elections legally. I can steal elections. So just because either I'm not caught or there's no law doesn't make it proper. But here we have a case whose daughter, now this is a state-appointed judge. Very, very, this is New York, very, very political. He has aspirations, as do most judges, of, I don't know, federal judgeship or governor, who knows. His daughter was involved in a very, very serious PR campaign that made millions of dollars in helping place Democratic candidates, Adam Schiff, I think, or others. And this would have been a real feather. Mm-hmm. Right. And this would have been a feather in her cap and the Democrats' cap for President Trump to be convicted. Okay, fine. Now, I'm not saying it was done deliberately, but they said this could have been a conflict. This could have been a conflict. This provides for the appearance of impropriety. They said that's ridiculous. Now, cut to Judge Alito, Justice Alito, appointed for life, Supreme Court Justice. His wife flies some flag and they want him recused. Clarence Thomas, his wife, again, he's appointed for life. Nobody can influence him theoretically. He's there for life. His wife is involved in, conservative functions and the like. They want him to recuse. So it's hypocrisy, it's unfairness, and the Republicans better understand they're not done. Republicans are the biggest wimps. They don't understand this. They're going to do everything in their power to put President Trump in jail, in prison, lock him up. They want an orange jumpsuit. They want this. And I can talk to you all day long and make the case against it. I can see it makes no sense how under the rules, a person with no priors, and that's another thing. He's a prior now. He's a convicted felon. So the next time he's sentenced, and there will be a next time, because they're not done with him. As long as he's breathing, he's still a target. They're going to use his prior conviction to up the ante. So what are the Republicans doing, Natalie? They're going on Fox News. They're saying, look how much money we raised. That's great. These people are cold-blooded and ruthless. They are not done yet. The Republicans just don't have it. I'm glad the president is done. I'm guessing he'll get probation. It's the only thing that makes sense. But then again, nothing makes sense.
Right.
Nothing. None of this makes sense.
Well, talk to me about the two-party justice system that I think is blaringly apparent at this point. I don't know how anyone could argue anything else, because I personally do feel that the Hunter Biden story was withheld from me as a voter. And I bought hook, line, and sinker that, oh, they're just trying to go after Hunter Biden because the right wing goes after, or the left wing goes after the Trump kids so badly.
Right.
So that's what they're doing. And I bought it as a voter until I started to look into it. I want to ask you about this 2016 campaign violation from the Clinton campaign for the Steele dossier, which she put down as legal services. Now, the Steele dossier was she hired him to write a false document, write a lie that I can sell to the electorate and prosecute Donald Trump on. To me, that's almost worse because I don't have any illusions that Donald Trump may or may not had extramarital trysts. That did not disabuse me of anything about his character. The Steele dossier, again, was a pile of shit that I bought during the Trump campaign. And I do feel like that was. So why did she only get an $8,000 slap on the wrist?
Because she's Hillary Clinton. And because they're going to make a distinction without a difference. They're going to say, wow, that's different. And it's not different. Every single thing. Let me also tell you.
That's
something
fraud. She bought fraud for the campaign.
Well, I don't understand. I will never understand how I can go and hire basically a screenwriter to, let's say, make up false information about you, libelous information about you, which is really not libelous until I publish it, and then now I'm publishing it. They don't even care about this. Remember Perkins Coie and Fusion GPS and Steele and
taxpayers paid for this investigation based on this lie.
But that's for the investigation. But the lie itself, right? You're right about that. See, none of it makes any sense. Let me go back and remind you of something. What they're doing to other people, what they're doing to Peter Navarro. Look at this. Look at this. I want to say this. Not Rogues Gallery, but this list. And remember, I don't care whether you like him or not. Bannon. They're all of a sudden, Bannon, Navarro, you lied before Congress. Remember in 2005 or whatever, when a bunch of Major League Baseball players went before the Congress and they said, did you use steroids? I don't know what you're talking about. What? Mark McGwire famously said, do we have to talk about this now? Yes. Yes. Then the 94, 93 tobacco executives came and they said, is nicotine connected to any type of addiction? You go, no. So they don't care about this. But what's going to happen is you got people like Bannon and you've got others. And again, whether you like him or not, you're going after what they're doing to Rudy Giuliani and others. They're going after. And these cases are a little bit different, but the right, all of this has to do with using the legal system. And whether it's Alex Jones, again, when you like these people or not, and I like when they use people, Natalie, and then they don't need them. Harvey Weinstein. What they did to Harvey Weinstein is unconscionable, but people don't like it because he's ugly and he's gross and he's terrible to women. But they were basically going back and using offenses that have nothing to do with this one. And now, and I know nobody cares about this, even Diddy, they're setting him up. They use you. Alec Baldwin, when they don't need you anymore. Let me ask you one question about him. I know it's off the subject, but if this were Ron Howard, do you think they'd be leaving him twisting in the wind? What do these all have in common? It's the legal system. That's the legal system. And what happens is then you have these folks of supposed legal great pedigree and from white shoe firms who go on CNN and they say, well, this is obviously terrific. Whatever happened to the Mueller Commission? Whatever happened to Mueller? What happened to any of these people? What was this about? Hillary Clinton is an election denier. Stacey Abrams is an election denier.
If that's what we're doing.
Yes.
Yes, the first one.
You know, the other day, to show you how, and by the way, they make up their own history. When they brought up the birther evidence, Hillary Clinton brought that up with Mark Penn. They were the ones who did this. And they know, because since we have the attention span of a gnat, people aren't paying attention to this. Now, did the president, let me tell you one thing, and I think maybe we talked about this before, I don't know. Why didn't the president just say, yeah, I had an affair with Stormy Daniels? Yeah. Because that would have eliminated her because she was there because he put her into issue. He basically said, I never had, well, there can't be an NDA if there wasn't an affair, theoretically. So by virtue of his own recalcitrance, he says, maybe it's this old be stubborn, deny everything sort of thing. Cohn, I don't know. Why didn't Weisselberg This is his 50th, he's been with the Trump Organization for 50 years, sentenced twice to like 5 months and 100 days by this very same judge. Why didn't he testify? Why didn't the security person testify? I don't want to play after the fact, like, and I'm not sure, why is his lawyer going on CNN? I don't understand any of this. And by the way, it's not far-fetched for somebody somewhere to say, listen, I don't understand this. I'm going to vote not guilty. Out of 12 people for 34 counts. Let me also say this again, Natalie. This is what I want everybody in your main audience to understand. They took one transaction and they broke it up into 34 separate individual transactions.
Yes.
Involving either a check, an invoice, a debit, a voucher. It was one transaction. And again, it was to pay her, Stormy Daniels, an NDA. Now also, by virtue of bringing David Pecker on and going catch and kill is completely legal. This is legal. But what they did was they created this fiction in the mind of 12 people who apparently wanted to hear this, that this was an ongoing conspiracy on part of Donald Trump and others to collude, to keep from the American people facts that they could use in order to vote for him. The election rules apply to the following. If you are running for office and you decide that for whatever reason, you've got a business and you know what, you've got you got a couple of employees. You know what? I don't want them coming. Pay them off. Get rid of them. Plus, I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy a huge wardrobe and get my teeth fixed and I'm going to do all this stuff and get surgery. I'm doing all of these things. None of those are in any way considered campaign related because I could have done them anyway. I could have paid off, or he could have paid off Stormy Daniels to keep it from Melania. That's not necessarily campaign. Opening up an offices, hiring pollsters, those are campaign related. So even if, and by the way, they wanted to have Brad White, commissioner, who is an expert, say, this is not even in the realm, within the rubric of any kind of
right, but
campaign.
It doesn't.
And there can be no fraud.
The thing is, it doesn't matter when it comes to Trump because they changed the statute of limitations for rape prosecution for Jean Carroll to sue him. Mm-hmm. So they will change the laws to get this guy. And even if you're the biggest Trump hater in the world, that should scare you, right?
But by the way, they got him. They took a regular, what was it, $5 million? They upped it to 80, or I forget what it was, by virtue of his denying it, which turned out to be construed as defamation. You see, Trump can never just come out and just say, I deny this. He'll make fun of people. He had what? How many gag orders?
Yes.
Now, let me ask you this very, very simply this. As we speak, there are, Chinese TikTok, what is this, Scamouflage and Dragon Breath or whatever, all these things. They are portraying the United States as being this country of rapscallions, this third world banana republic where they bring they're so oppressive, they bring form. Now, granted, China has its share of this as well. But here's my question. How do we look right now to the rest of the world? And let me also remind you of this. Do you think that if Donald Trump, when he wins, I believe he will win re-election despite all this, but when he wins, if he had a real DOJ with a real smart FBI and a real smart attorney general, do you think somebody can make the argument that the fraud, the conspiracy to commit fraud between Joe Biden and Hunter is still ongoing? That they keep redoing it, so it's through novation. So this conspiracy, Burisma, whatever, so you could bring charges against him now. Is it possible? You betcha.
Oh,
so remember, like they say in Jack Reacher, remember that great line? He goes, remember, you wanted this, and I will do this. But the Republicans don't have this ruthlessness part of them. The reason why this is, one of the reasons why is because Trump never went after Hillary. He said, you know, lock her up. And he never did because he's a nice guy. He had no idea how brutal these people are.
Well, also, I do feel like Republicans are campaigning on the rule of law. like hold inner cities, you know, inner city crime accountable for the rule of law, hold immigrants, you know, accountable for the rule of law, hold drug addicts. So then you can't go change the rule of law to like, it doesn't make sense. I mean, I guess that's fair in politics, but at the same time, there may be, maybe, now I think both parties are a uniparty, but at the same time, there are some in the Republican Party who I think maybe still hope that our justice system will get this right, that it will just play its way through the courts and we will see what's, we'll see the proper application of jurisprudence. Does that sound naive when I say that?
Oh, no, 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 it doesn't at all. And I think that's a part of it. And, but one of the things is that, unfortunately, Trump has been under so much attack and he's been under so many cases involving various prosecutions and civil suits that people are, I guess what people are saying is they're so almost immune to it. They're habituated to it. They're saying, oh, yeah, it's another one. 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 And instead of, it's the weirdest thing, instead of people getting tired, they get used to something. It's the strangest thing. In most parts of life, resentment builds up. But this, for example, it's almost like kids, teenagers, sometimes they habituate to you. It's like, are you bothering me again? As opposed to them paying more attention to your desires. American public are like kids. They just get, they need to be scared or something. Look, the bottom line is simply this. Now that this is over, and now that we are done, and we're going to be having every single night, if I hear Mark Levin screaming, and Alan Dershowitz is a genius, and everybody's going to want to say the same thing over and over. Yes, you're right. It's a banana republic. Yes, I got it. The point is, what's Trump doing now? Now, he needs to do this very, very quickly. And this is the political. He's got to go on. He's got to speak to people. And he's got to say, look what they did. And he's got to tell people, hello, Mr. President. That's convicted president. Remind them. Own it. They convicted me for something that nobody can understand. And I always ask my friends who kind of call me up and gloat, I said, by the way, I give you $100 if you can explain to me what he was convicted of. But he's got to remind people of this. He's got to also tell them if it can happen to me, it can happen to you. And throughout history, from Jesus, I'm not trying to make a comparison, to St. Paul, to Mahatma Gandhi, to Martin Luther King, whenever somebody gets in the way, you only take flack when you're over the target, they historically and sometimes hysterically will try to shut you down. This is what nothing's changed. And what happens is America has to recognize that it has to do something. And by the way, Natalie, they're going to steal or try to steal this election again legally. And what Trump needs to be doing, in addition to rehashing all the terrible things, he's very good at explaining his own particular woes. And I understand it's very important. But he's got to be able to say that we have dispatched ninjas to polling sites, to precincts. We have armies of individuals standing by ready to act accordingly. We are going to fight back. This is what we're doing. We're not just raising money. We're not going to have these phony baloney Jim Jordan hearings where nothing ever is accomplished. He's got to rewrite the way what we're doing, because yes, it's one party, but it's the shadow government. It's more than Soros, and it's more than the usual suspects. It's an insidious, almost a cancer, a virus that's in our system that seeks to bombard everything, complete and total organ failure. Just when you know, we talk about kids. Not only do you as a proud citizen and a broadcaster and a wife and a mother, whatever, you have to worry about your family, the future, the world, your own children, their what the world they're living in. What do they think about this? And what is it? When we constantly have kids, I don't want to sound like Mr. Moralist here, kids immersed in this world of filth. Look, this. Say what you want about Stormy Daniels and what this was about. Kids have to kind of hear about this. And they may say, like, what did she do? And who is she? And what did she do? It was like during the
Clinton. But I grew up during the Monica Lewinsky scandal, and that was disgusting.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, see, that's the thing. And this is something
I had to know more than I should have because of that news cycle.
And people are talking about dresses and stains and that sort of thing. But also there's this thing too, and I hope people recognize something, that if you plan on going or being in office, they are setting you up. And President Trump kind of believed his own press. And he needs to be, he loves this thing about appearing to be the subject of the charms and the attractions of women. Look, I don't know if you follow this, but even the media, they always talk about this Hope Hicks and this Margot Martin, and then the other one was Alina Haba. And if they spend half the time worrying about his case as they do posing by the pool on Instagram, this is where we are right now. This, I guarantee you. So we live in a world where it's all upside down. And I don't understand why the president has to come out every time he spoke. Why didn't he talk about his worldview? Forget about the case. Forget about the judge. Forget about his daughter or what he looks like, or, you know, these slams. Talk about what you're going to do for me. You know, the African-American community is 14% of the population. They are chomping at the bit to vote for him. He's got to speak to them, and Latinos who have been for, and the gay community, different factions and subsidiaries of the population who have been all but ignored by this. And every time he speaks, he should be doing this, not going into some self-serving Fox News with C-listers explaining what we already know. And that goes double for his son and his family. Talk about what you're going to do to me. Talk about how you're going to make America great again. Quit telling me about what you've been through. I understand that.
We can see it. Yeah. And so at this point, you know, he can use this to springboard his campaign, because even people who have not historically liked him understand the persecution of somebody and enough to be afraid of it for the rest of us.
Did you see the Bronx? We were here. My wife and I are watching this. We're watching this. And it was bigger. And when you're here, it's even bigger. This is the Bronx.
Right.
This is the Bronx. This was as blue as blue. The old story used to be, if you are a criminal defendant, this is what they used to always say, the best places to be is the Bronx. You can do anything, because there was such a law and order in the police. It's not correct, but that was the theory. We saw people, and by the way, I'm finding myself right now, I don't know about you, listening to platforms, listening to people, finding myself listening to folks who would have been, I think, politically antithetical to what I was thinking for years, because they were either left or this or that. But now you talk about the Uniparty. The Uniparty is also, it's like the Great Reset. The world is now saying, wait a minute, this is nuts.
Yeah.
There aren't these fine gradations between left and right anymore. People are interested in families and everybody deep down will say, listen, don't tell anybody I said this. I'm a lefty and I'm a woke. But enough with Trump. Enough with Trump.
Yeah.
Do you know that if I showed you, for example, the cases in jurisdictions of rape evidence kits that have been lost, women who have been, just one example, what they're doing to children, missing kids. There's like 2,300 kids missing every single day in this country. And when I mean missing, I mean dead, killed, vanished, through, finished, done. We have turned our back on things that really matter, substantive, existential issues, and shown this absolutely psychotically punctilious focus on a case that is nothing more than just this fixation that a few people have with this president, and people know that.
Well, just we're going to leave it there because we're a bit out of time, but yes, I appreciate that. And especially because you're right that how many real crimes fall through the cracks and we prosecute this kind of crime to the most salacious manner. But here we are, you know, it's not done. It absolutely is not done. So we're going to have to see it play itself out, but it will play itself out in front of us during the election. So you can follow Lionel's great analysis. You were one of the first people I went to after this guilty verdict on Thursday and Friday of last week. It's Lionel Nation on YouTube. We always appreciate you coming on Redacted. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.